Long Prospect, written by Elizabeth Harrower and read by Deirdre Rubenstein. I want a glass of milk. She rehearsed the unmeaning words of justification several times before going to the door. There was no sound. I want a glass of milk. Very lightly, very slowly, she crept out into the open space of the hall. Had they all gone? But then at once she knew the house was occupied. The silence on which she had opened the door was a prolonged pause, nothing more, in a turbulent conversation. It began again with a kind of restrained vehemence, ran swiftly, skirting hysteria. The voices combined in a sound that made Emily shiver with fear. This was what she had heard an hour ago, more faintly though, for then she had not moved from her room. Now she went close to the place that had quite suddenly become the source of panic. Her back pressed against the wall, she stood staring at the door, impaled by a sense of impending calamity, incapable of distinguishing words or voices, simply apprehending in tones and echoes a fear and intention that left her cold to the heart. All at once, Lillian's voice rose above the others.
"Why should I have the responsibility? You'll just have to make a home for her. And you've to see him in the morning, Harry, and tell him to get out by lunchtime. These people will tell you what's been going on."
A chorus of mixed voices interrupted her here, but in a moment she went on.
"Not her fault, but I can't always be watching. Always round her. Got a bad reputation. Thea and him years ago. Get the police onto him. Anyway, I'm too... Well, they'll tell you, and it's time you..." "Get a doctor," came Rosen's voice. "Shut your mouth, you!"
Someone gave a cry, and again the voices rose, clashing with alarm and hysteria. The voices split, and Rosen and Billy could be heard, shouting each other down. Her mother and father, in lower, less steady tones, explained and apologized into the unlistening air. Over all came Lillian's voice, strident, dogmatic, hot with accusation. Confirmation had touched off the climax of horror and grief. An explosion of horror and disbelief. Now Emily's lungs were full of lead. She went back to the bedroom, pursued by a raucous cry. The next instant, a profound silence, the suspension of which she did not hear, settled over the house. She sat on the sofa and played the hem of her dress through her fingers, not thinking, looking pensive, taking a spasmodic, shallow breath. She sighed. And then, the inadequacy of any outward gesture to relieve or express what she was as yet too numb to feel, made her shrug, as if at some other frivolous self who had come along saying, "You're upset. Make a noise. Bang your head against the wall. React so that you can be sure you're unhappy."